But I guess that on the upside of it, at the very worst, all you're going to be out is the money it costs you for your long-distance call.
And I'll tell you, I have one other problem with it, too. And I'm one of these old-fashioned guys. I'm kind of a telephone traditionalist. I don't think they should have ever broke up Bell. Bell should still be Bell. It's a utility, just like your CG&E. It's a utility. And to break that up has caused more confusion and bullcrap. With, you know, now you try to make a long-distance phone call from a payphone.
Right.
You got to be like freaking Bill Gates or some kind of computer hacker in order to make a phone call to your mother if you're, you know, out of the county or something. It's crap. It's a bunch of crap.
These guys are based, I think, in California. They're going to come out this way, make a quick buck, and then all of a sudden you won't see them anymore.
Well, wherever they're from, if they're from California or if they're from Saskatchewan, I don't care. Breaking up the phone company is a big mistake because people who know nothing about who built the system are going to start operating it, and they're going to screw it up. It's already screwed up. There's only one thing that can save it. You know what that is?
What?
I hate to say this, but it might be the internet, because this thing is so damn huge, and it uses phone lines to communicate.
Right.
And you can't break that up, or at least they haven't broke it up yet. And if we're lucky, they won't. There's a few monopolies that are supposed to be in place. Bell was one of them, and this computer thing, which is already kind of like anarchy anyway, might be able to tie it back together again.
But like you said, when you had to sell proprietorship in order to make money off of someone else, and they have to continue to sell. Like I said, you can make a quick buck maybe, but at a long run, you know.
Pyramid schemes suck, but breaking up the phone company sucks even more.
There you go. Thanks to God, a lot, guys.
Thanks, Don. Are you on the mailing list?
No.
We're going to get you on it, so stay on hold.
Okay.
Wow, Chris.
Put Don on the mailing list.
Chris, you took a pretty hard stand on the...
phone companies suck,
on,
man.
On the breakup of Ma Bell. Do you want to take a stand on whether or not Jimmy Carter should give away the Panama Canal next?
I don't know nothing about the Panama Canal. That's pretty far away. I don't care about that. Although, you know, if we got a stake in the Panama Canal, we should probably keep it there. Yeah, if you're a Panamanian dude, you have rights to your own land. And there's no way that an imperialistic country like the United States or a couple hundred years ago Great Britain have any right to come in and tell you what you can and cannot do, sell, or trade. But that canal is water, and boats got to go through there. And if we want to get one of our boats through there, we should be able to do that.
Are you ready to take a position on whether or not we should back the Shah of Iran or not?
What happened to him? He's dead, isn't he?
So I don't know.
I don't care.
You're dragging up these 15-year-old stories.
But that has been sticking in my craw for a long time.
Hey, bro.
How many times have I been in a bar somewhere drunk, trying to make a phone call to some girlfriend of mine or some buddy of mine somewhere, and I pick up the phone, and you can't just dial direct and put it on your credit card anymore. You got to, like, go through it. You know, it might be on, like, some freaking Jake Schmuckley Bell.
Well, first of all, back when there was Ma Bell, you didn't have phone credit cards.
And exactly.
What are you
That's
talking
just
about?
Another 12-digit code for you to memorize. It's stupid. How many more numbers can I remember?
It's just been sticking in your craw since like 10th grade or something.
Pretty much. What are you talking about? It stinks. It absolutely stinks. And I'll say it again anytime. There's a very few minute number of monopolies that have a reason and a place to be there, and the phone company is one of them. I don't know if we should have government regulation.
From you conservatives. Listen, let me tell you something there, punk. There's this guy, I think he's in Texas. I may have mentioned this before. But he has taken out his own long-distance phone company. And it answers to the name of, I don't care, any of them, it doesn't matter. So when you call, make a long-distance call, and they say, what phone company do you want? And you say, I don't care. You'll get this guy's phone, long-distance phone company provider from Texas, and he charges like three times as much as anybody else.
That sucks. There's another reason that you shouldn't have broke up the phone company.
So he's just slow.
When they call me and ask me what phone company I want, I usually say I want Bell. B-E-L-L, can you spell it? And the phone number here is 749-1444, and up next is Dr. Love. That's L-O-B-E. Can you spell it? Dr. Love, you calling us from a factory or something?
I'm calling you from a phone that's C-E-L-L-U-L-A-R.
That's fine. So where are you cruising tonight, Dr. Love?
I'm on my way back from my ex-girlfriend's house. Just going under an underpass right now.
Well, you go over there for a little hate sex or something?
Yeah.
Having a little hate sex tonight?
Hate love.
Did you beat her up?
Nah, I don't beat women.
Did you go down on her?
Oh, no, we won't talk about that now.
So what's on your mind tonight, Dr. Love?
We're going to just call and promote 10 to 12 Friday morning.
Hey, that's right.
Back on.
Friday afternoon, the wafer will be broadcasting proudly, and 10 a.m., Dr. Love and Chris Vaughn will be hosting the WAIF Wrestling War Room. Is that correct?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of wrestling right now, currently as we speak, Dr. Love.
The big debut of the Wrestling Channel going to happen here very soon, beginning of the year. And Les Thatcher, one of our frequent guests, is going to be on talking to us.
Turn your radio down, Dr. Love.
All right, there we go.
It comes through the phones now, remember?
Yeah.
Listen, you got to tell those NWO idiots. They might know how to wrestle, but they can't announce.
Oh, I thought it was if Bischoff would have shut up last night, it'd have been a hell of a lot funnier.
Oh, my God. They just kept saying the same three cliches over and over again.
Which were those?
Give him the ball, block for him.
Yeah, but they did make a pretty good reference to ECW.
That
he
was
got $3 and we can play bingo, too.
That was kind of cute, but other than that, he can play. He can go.
He can go.
He can go.
That's
yeah, he
right.
can go.
Hey, did you know
he
Mr. Perfect's on his way over?
It's about time.
They played a baby crying when they said Mr. Perfect last night on the WWF Raw, so I can only assume that he's the superstar Scheme Gene's talking about.
You know, I hate to interrupt you guys here. I don't catch much big-time wrestling. Who in the heck is Mr. Perfect?
Kurt Hennig.
Who's he?
He's the son of Larry the Axe Hennig.
Oh, that's who I thought it was. All right, now I get it.
All right, so who's Roddy Piper going to bring in to help him beat up the NWO?
Whoever the fool is, he's walking behind him in the muscle head with the beanie on his head to walk behind him the last pay-per-view.
I didn't see that guy. Was he a big guy?
Yeah, he looked like the Ultimate Warrior.
Cool.
But the NWO was talking about him, making fun of him last night.
Yeah, they're scared of him.
Yeah.
They're scared of Arn Anderson.
As I come up here on the Milford exit.
All right, we're going to let you go, Dr. Love.
Yeah, but make sure... Tunes in 10 to 12, the War Room Friday.
All right.
We'll watch out for all the drunk drivers in Milford, all right?
All right.
Okay.
See you later, Dr. Love.
See ya.
Right here on WAIF, 10 o'clock Friday afternoon,
Friday morning.
Dr. Love, Chris Spawn, you got the Wrestling War Room.
And this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444.
I got it.
Got an old slouch hat, got my roll on my shoulder, I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please, just a bummin' around. Got a million friends, don't feel any older, I got nothing to lose, not even the blues, just a bumming around. Whenever worries start to bother me, I grab my coat, my old slouch hat, hit the trail again, you see. I ain't got a dime, don't care where I'm going, well I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please, just a bombing around.
To lose, not even the blues, just a bumming around.
Whenever worries start to bother me, I grab my coat, my old slouch hat, hit the trail again, you see. I ain't got a dime, don't care where I'm going, cause I'm as free as a breeze, and I'll do as I please, just a bumming around, just bumming around.
In the wacky world of telephone harassment for celebrity answering machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's celebrity answering machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for Celebrity Answering Machine.
It's Chris and Rob, late night talk show. We're calling Leslie Nielsen. You might have seen him in Airplane and what's that Spy Hard movie?
You called it Spy Hard. He's in a Police Squad TV show.
Yeah, I think he knows OJ, doesn't he?
And he, you know, he wrote a hilarious bad joke book, bad golf book. That bad guy could talk about bad golf all day. Kick your ball when no one's looking.
You might be talking about it if nobody answers the phone soon.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, if you're in the sand trap and you can, like, put out a beach chair and, you know, catch...
You've reached the Nielsen residence. Please leave a message after the tone. If you wish to track me down, perhaps Sandy Besser at... He may be able to track me down. If not, leave a message after the tone and please speak slowly.
Speak slowly, he says. Hi, Leslie Nielsen. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You told us to speak slowly, and we are. We're on the radio in Cincinnati.
That Sandy guy sounds like your personal stalker.
Loved ya in the air. God. Loved you in the Airplane movie.
Keep up the good, bad golf book.
We'll call you back later.
Take care. Tell Scylla we said hey.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machine. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machine.
Thanks, Andy.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Phone number is 749-1444. Get your calls in to 749-1444. Rob and I are your radio pals.
Cutting the Grass. It's a great show. You can hear the best in traditional bluegrass music every Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. on Cutting the Grass. Your host, Jerry Dale. That's a radio name. Two first names. Jerry Dale. It's like Jim Scott. Fraud. Right. Anyway, Jerry Dale. Yeah, right. Features the music of Bill Monroe. That's another guy. Phony name. Two first names. Bill Monroe. The Stanley Brothers, Jimmy Martin, the Osborne Brothers, and others each week. Tune into WAIF on Saturday starting 8 a.m. for the finest mix of bluegrass music. High-powered American art form. Bluegrass music cutting the grass Saturday mornings here on WAIF. And Chris, you know what my favorite television show is. Xena, Warrior Princess.
Well, that's on Channel 64, isn't it?
It's also on WGN out of Chicago, the cable channel. That's where I usually catch it. And it is absolutely the most entertaining, action-packed hour on television. A lot of shows promise something and deliver something different. Xena promises a lot of shots of Xena wearing a very small leather bustier and a lot of shots of Xena wearing a leather bustier kicking the crap out of bad guys.
But do they show any shots of Xena wearing a leather bustier?
Yes. And that's what the show promises, and the show delivers just that. You tune in every week, and you will see Xena in a leather bustier kicking the crap out of bad guys. And also, it's well-written, it's funny, it's very campy, kind of like the old Batman series from the 60s. And it's also just a lot of fun and a hell of a good time to watch Xena. But listen to this.
What's that, Rob?
There is a Xena doll, so now you know what you can get me for Christmas.
A Xena doll?
Yeah. This Reverend out of Connecticut, his name is Reverend Christopher Rose. He has put the Xena doll as one of the worst Christmas presents that you can give. Actually, it's at number 9. It's under the Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, Xena 2, and Mole Man. And the reason why he doesn't like Xena is because, well, the package for Xena 2 suggests, quote, remove Xena's Princess Warrior outfit. Whoa. But you know what?
Man.
Back when I was a little kid, when I was a little kid, and I'd grab my sister's Barbie dolls, I didn't need the package to suggest to me to take off its clothes. That kind of came natural.
Yeah, you sort of just did it.
Yes.
You got a sister, don't you?
Yes, I do.
In fact, you got an older sister.
Yes, I do.
So you were a real little kid when you were lifting up Barbie's skirt.
It says, this is according to the Associated Press, buxom Xena, and Lucy Lawless, who plays Xena, it's just great. Not only is she a real looker, as they say, a real looker, she's very funny, she's very talented. Buxom Xena can be stripped down to her voluptuous plastic skin.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So Christopher Rose...
This is like Rumors for Kids, isn't it?
For his 10th annual list... he doesn't like the Freak because it ridicules the homeless. He doesn't like
What's
Egyptian...
What's the Freak?
I don't know. It's a toy.
I never heard of the Freak.
He doesn't like Egyptian Batman and Catwoman. What's wrong with... It encourages violence against women. I thought Catwoman had to whip and beat the crap out of everybody. There's a bunch of other ones that are just violent or encourage violence against someone else. Except for number 5, Goosebumps Monster Headmaker.
What? What's a Goosebumps Monster Headmaker?
Slime oozes from the head when the nose and ears are cut off.
Yeah. Who in the world would buy that for their kid? That's kind of weird.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I like toys that are a little different. I like toys that are a little wacky, but that's just weird.
So, if you're out shopping...
What, you buy a head and you rip off its ear and something oozes out?
If you find yourself at Johnny's Toys, there in Green Hills, your old stomping ground... And you're looking to get me something, just make your way to the Xena section.
You want the head, don't you? Rip off the nose and
I don't want the damn bloody pus oozing nose. I want Xena.
That sounds weird.
With the removable leather bustier.
You know, I don't usually like bringing up sad stories where kids get hurt, but this has kind of a funny way it happened, and it's so surreal it's like an old TV show. A skydiving Christmas elf was blown off course and knocked a one-year-old girl out of her mother's arms outside of a shopping mall on Friday. The baby did get hurt a little bit and suffered some head injuries, which is sad. But can you imagine a freaking Christmas elf floating down from the sky and some mama is standing there with her baby and maybe she didn't see the elf coming and couldn't get out of the way? I don't know. Maybe she was holding this baby and couldn't run real fast. But, man, can you imagine like going over to Surrey Square Mall there and rubbing off your lottery tickets there, and you look up, and there's an elf coming down from the sky with a parachute, and he's an elf. Midgets of the world unite.
That'd be rough. Other gift ideas this year.
Skydiving midgets.
Includes the skydiving midget of the month. December, elf. January, dwarf. February, munchkin. Ooh. March, little person. April, runt. Say that, I don't know. Anyway, other gift of the month clubs. This is out of USA Today. Cigar Affair. Now, you know, I'm sick of cigars. I used to enjoy going down to Riverfront Stadium back when it was called Riverfront Stadium, clocking in with a 25-cent eye bold, getting a big draft hue to pull, and I was very happy. But now...
That's the spirit of baseball
right
there.
But now you got...
That's baseball.
You got Cigar Aficionado, and you got Mount Adams, Mount Lookout Smoking Clubs, and you got Demi Moore smoking cigars, and Madonna, and everybody...
And it takes all the fun out of smoking a stogie.
Everybody... Who wants to be a little bit rebellious? Anybody who thinks you're some kind of wild person, now all they do is fire up a cigar because the unholy puritanical streak in this country will go, ew, I can't believe you're smoking. And so these goofballs who are afraid to do something really radical rebel against the extremely tight-assed by smoking cigars, and it just takes away all the fun from us true freedom lovers.
You are a freedom lover, aren't
anyway,
you?
Anyway, I'd smoke a cigar, buddy. Anyway, international wine cellars, wines for sissies. Beer Across America, that microbrew stuff is for sissies. Coffee Quest, tell you what, gourmet coffee's for sissies.
Uh-huh.
Spice of the month. Now, this sounds cool. You know, like if you're cooking, different spices every 30 days.
Get that for your favorite chef in your family.
That could be cool. The Mount Horeb Mustard Museum.
Oh, you get
I like
mustard.
I do enjoy mustard.
What, you get a different jar of mustard every month? That's kind of... Who eats that? I mean, mustard's one thing, but to eat that, that's a lot of mustard.
Some like it hot, some like it sweet.
Mainline mustard.
When it comes to mustard, tastes vary. The Horeb Wisconsin Museum's Mustard of the Month Club sends 3 mustards monthly. Selections include fruit mustards, hot and spicy, and French. $240 for 1 year.
How much do you get?
Doesn't say. 1-800-438-6878. His number. There's a snack of the month.
You're a mean
popcorn,
old man.
Jelly Belly, that kind of stuff.
You get popcorn every month?
That seems pretty sissy to me,
stupid.
Too. Jackson and Perkins Plant Club. Plants are for sissies.
Plants?
America's Finest Pasta
Sauces.
They make
oxygen.
That'd be cool.
Plants make oxygen. America can breathe better.
But to join a plant club, when you can go to...
It depends on what kind of plant.
Oh, jeez. You're like 90 seconds behind the curve on that one.
What kind of plant?
It's like the sticky brown one, you know. It's a good plant.
Send me one of those plants, man.
Hey, Chris. Cool. Hey, Chris and Rob.
Fire up the lava lamp, man. Hey, send me a plant every month.
Hey, Chris and Rob, some dude told me now that you can grow your own shit in Ohio, man. Is that true, man?
Check it out. Hey, when's the dope smoking show on? Is that Thursday?
The dope smoking show.
You know, last week, the dope smoking show, being that it was Thanksgiving last Thursday. Thursday night at what? 5 o'clock, 6
dude,
o'clock.
Dude, last year I made a bong out of the turkey, man. It was some good smoky turkey weed, dude.
That's cool. Last Thursday on the Thanksgiving edition of the Hemp Rock program, which airs on WAIF right here every Thursday at 6. Last week they were on at 5 because they had special Thanksgiving recipes, including pot stuffing, dude. It's the greatest. Stuff your bird full of dope this year.
You've never had a good...
And it's
good
not too late to get that ready for your big Christmas dinner.
Buzz until you used a turkey bong with dressing carb.
Rob, is there anywhere you haven't been? You've been everywhere, haven't you?
We got one more.
What's that?
Pasta sauces, which
big
is
deal.
Cool. That's cool.
Does it really stand up to sauce?
That's
a Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-144 is the phone number. I'm going to say that one more time, and then I'm going to go somewhere. This is 749-1444. I don't know where Rob's been, but I've been everywhere.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Vanilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake, Devil's Lake, Crater Lake, the Beach Lake. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Louisville, Nashville, Knoxville, Ombabaka, Shepherdville, Jacksonville, Waterville, Costa Rica, Pittsfield, Springfield, Bakersfield, Shreveport, Hackensack, Cadillac, Fond du Lac, Davenport, Idaho, Jellicoe, Argentina, Diamantina, Pasadena, Catalina, Sea, Guatemala. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, spare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Pittsburgh, Parkersburg, Gravelburg, Colorado, Ellensburg, Rexburg, Vicksburg, Eldorado, Larimore, Atmore, Havistaw, Chattanooga, Chaston, Nebraska, Alaska, Opelika, Baraboo, Waterloo, Kalamazoo, Kansas City, Sioux City, Cedar City, Dodge City, what a pity. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere. Johnny
Cash doing an old Hank Snow song written by Jeff Mack.
I think it's Hank Snow.
So check
it
out.
May not be Hank Snow.
It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-144. I want to tell you about a new way you can give money to your church, and it's a money-back guarantee. The Living Word Fellowship in Sims Township, which isn't far from here, they're offering members of their congregation a deal. When you give 10% of your income for 90 days, 10% over 90 days.
Some people call that a tithe.
And if it creates a financial hardship for you or you don't receive financial blessings, you can get your money back with no questions asked. The pastor of the Living Word Church, his name is... his or her name is Kim Terry, said 61 pledges were returned last week because somebody either didn't get the blessing they prayed for or it created a financial hardship upon them. But the Lord saith unto you that he who gives the most until it hurts will receive the greatest blessing in heaven. And God doesn't work like that. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't give you blessings just because you give money to the church. Bad things happen to good people. Go back and read the book of Job, you punk. So if Kim Terry, the pastor of the Living Word, is out there, go back and read the book of Job. You're a punk.
That's why he gives the money back.
You're not supposed to give the money back, though. That's not what it's about. That's not what that particular church is about. This sounds like some kind of newfangled church that has nothing to do with the traditional Bible. This is some screwed up church.
Here's my favorite television preacher. He kind of looked like Steve Martin.
Money back.
Big giant eyebrows. And when I worked at Avon, I'd get up like half hour early just so I could watch him before I went to work.
Were you the Avon lady?
No, I worked in the factory. I worked in the macho factory.
Oh, I thought maybe you were the Avon lady.
You know what we did at
lunch? I could use some new roots.
You know what we did on our lunch hour?
Can you get me some ice?
You know what we did on our lunch hour at Avon?
What?
We went to the local ad agency and kicked all their asses.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
Good for you. You must be a tough dude.
We were tough. Yeah. Then a bunch of ad boy sissies. I'm seeing how many times I can use the word sissy in tonight's show.
Whatever. Just get on with it. All right, sissy. About?
Okay, sissy. I forgot because you've got me off track with your sissy comment.
You're going to tell us about your favorite televangelist.
Oh, was I now?
So you said. I don't sissy. Care what you talk about. Punk.
So this guy, listen, sissy. This okay. guy would say... And he blinked a lot for some reason. Because he was lying, I guess, is why he blinked so much. He knew he was doing bad. He knew he was lying. He knew he was a fibbing. He knew he was bearing false witness. And he would say, I can see that you may be wandering through the darkness of despair and poverty, and that you do not know where to turn, and that you are in dire financial straits, and you are saying to me, but Reverend, I would like to give to your ministry, but I just don't know how to give. And I would saith unto you, you must give $1,000. For if you giveth $1,000, if you put your trust in the Lord, then the Lord will bless you. You have to give $1,000 if you got it, because that means that you are really putting your trust in the Lord, and the Lord will take care of you, and I will send you this genuine prayer cloth. Then he'd have these look like napkins or handkerchiefs laid out all over a table, and he'd pray over the green ones. The green ones are monetary prayer cloths. Then he'd pray over the white ones. The white ones are healing prayer cloths. And you were supposed to send him $1,000 and he'd send you a prayer cloth that he prayed on. Maybe cried on if you were lucky.
I'd use that to wipe my ass.
And it had
with.
Special healing powers. Yeah. Then he'd read letters.
Had a special wipe in your ass after you take a big dump.
But he'd read letters from people. Dear Reverend, we were broke. We were poor. We were paupers. But then we gave you every last bit of money out of our checking account. We even gave you our toaster oven. And next thing you know, old Billy Bob hit the lottery. And now we're rich beyond our wildest dreams. He was a really good televangelist. I used to watch him until I started watching Mr. Wizard. Decided
Mr.
to
Wizard
get some education.
Cool.
Mr. Wizard is very cool because he didn't seem overly concerned of whether or not his little teenage helpers got blown up by the experiments.
Now listen, the space program there is down there in Florida at Cape Canaveral sending up something tonight called the Mars Pathfinder, and 1:58 a.m. is the due liftoff time. This Mars Pathfinder is going to put a little robot-looking thing right there on the planet Mars that's going to like roll around and poke around and look for stuff. And I guess they're launching it tonight. We're going to try to place a call down to Cape Canaveral right now and see who we get and see if we can talk about Mars and the Mars Pathfinder. Let's see what happens.
AT&T.
Well, phone company, punks. I hate AT&T. AT&T used to be Bell, didn't it?
Well, AT&T is the biggest of the baby Bells.
We're calling Cape Canaveral.
How the hell can I miss from so close?
You missed it from that close?
Press site, this is Christine.
The press site, is this Cape Canaveral?
Yes, it is.
Is this Christine?
Yes.
Hi, Christine. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show in Cincinnati, Ohio. We're calling you from WAIF, and we understand a rocket with a Mars Pathfinder is about to be launched.
That's correct.
Is it still due to go up at 1:58?
It certainly is.
What's a Pathfinder? Is that like a Jeep?
No, this is the McDonnell Douglas version. This is a Delta II rocket. It's going to launch that little rover in the airbag up on Mars.
In an airbag?
In an airbag.
Well, there better not be any little kids going up or it might kill them.
No, just little green men.
Now, seriously, though, you're going to send this rocket up there. It's going to put this little robot down on Mars. What's it going to look for?
It's going to look for signs of life. It's going to collect some soil samples and take some photographs and send that information back.
Wow. How's it going to do all that? Is it going to have a little electronic arm to scoop up dirt and stuff?
Well, it's kind of like a platform with 4 or 6 wheels that'll be controlled from back down here, and it'll roam around on the red planet up there, and I don't know how big the radius is.
Sort of like an electronic car from Radio Shack, huh?
Yeah, more or less.
Now, I don't know what... I got your phone number today from the people at NASA. You're at the press site. What is the press site at Cape Canaveral?
Well, the press site is the closest proximity to the rocket that you can get. It's about a mile away. It's where all the media come, all the camera people, photographers, reporters, to watch the launch.
So you're going
to
be watching this thing go up. Can we call you back at 1:58 and get a play-by-play?
Yeah, you can probably do that.
Or will the line be busy by then?
No, because... nobody except internal people usually use this number, so...
Okay, we'll probably jingle you back, but this is really exciting. I love it when rockets go up.
And it will be live on CNN if you all have a TV.
Also, you can tune in your TV, turn the sound down, turn on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll give you a little play-by-play here in about 28 minutes.
There you go.
And are they going to start having drag races on Mars pretty soon, then? Because, you know, around here, people are always racing their radio-controlled cars.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm not real familiar with
that.
Yeah,
they could have drag races up there. You could sell tickets and...
Well, I did hear that one of these days we're going to have these things on Mars with cameras on them. You can go to Disney World and drive it around for a while via, like, some kind of freaky little TV camera you can hook up to your head, like virtual reality or something. How close are we to that technology, Christine?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm on the rocket end. So probably
you know how to build them and stuff?
Yeah, actually, I build all these in my basement.
Okay, we'll call the next one the Chris and Rob.
Yeah, can we get instead of calling these things, like Voyager and Columbia and stuff, can we name one the Chris and Rob something, the Chris and Rob mobile?
Well, we can certainly propose that, and if you have a couple dollars, we can do a dedicated launch.
Hey, listen, Christine, what you got to do with these Mars rovers... get them to put on like a Pinto chassis. Give them a touch of class. Have them looking like a Pinto. And then if they hit a rock, you can have them blow up.
Actually, it's quite durable. It's quite impressive. They did a demonstration, and it's a hardy little thing.
How big is it?
It's not real big at all. Maybe about the size of a microwave.
Whoa.
This is a second rocket we've sent up in the past month or so to Mars, isn't it?
It certainly is. We sent one up November 7th, the Mars Global Surveyor.
Now, is the Mars Global Surveyor going to mysteriously disappear here in a month or two because of the big NASA cover-up? Because they think that there's a face on Mars?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know,
yeah,
things are pretty normally.
Is this thing going to take pictures of the face on Mars?
I believe it's going to possibly take pictures of that same area.
Aha!
And will we be able to see him this time? Because we know that the Mars Observer has pictures, and they're hidden from the public.
Yeah, well, they said everything will be accessible.
Okay,
good.
Okay.
And what is your role in all this? You just answer the phones or what?
No, I do media relations for McDonnell Douglas.
That's cool. You're not like Dr. Christine, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because
are you an intern?
I'm just a human like both of you.
Are you an intern?
No, I'm not. I actually get paid to do
this. She's like a real person.
Is McDonnell Douglas the one that's going to start building that really expensive aircraft? Or is that Boeing? Who got that contract? The new F-14 or called the F-18 or something?
JSF. That would be Lockheed Martin and Boeing, I believe.
What a boondoggle that thing is. Oh, you talk about transference of wealth. Oh, let's take from the poor and give to Lockheed, but we won't get into that.
Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Christine.
All right.
We're going to call you back in 20 minutes for play-by-play, so be standing by.
Okay, and you might get someone else, too.
No, we're going to request you. No, we're going to request you.
We're going to say, where's that babe Christine, that rocket babe?
Okay.
We're going to ask Elton John to write a song about you called Rocket Babe.
Oh, I prefer Space Cowgirl.
Okay, Space Cowgirl.
Okay.
See ya.
Wasn't there a song called Space Cowgirl?
Wasn't there a character in a Tom Robbins book named Space Cowgirl?
I don't know. Space Cowgirl.
I don't know. 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Telling you a little bit about lead-based paint, because lead-based paint is nasty indeed. Before you renovate your home, if it's been built before 1978, you must have the work area tested for lead-based paint. It'll make your babies retarded, right? If the paint is lead-based, don't remove it yourself or begin any work. Instead, get one of these professional lead-based paint removers to come in because he's specially trained in removing lead hazards. Lead can be really nasty. And if you're Superman, lead really sucks because you can't see through it. This public service announcement has been brought to you by the Consumer Information Center. These guys know what's going on. And WAIF, we're here for you. Did I say that this was the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Did you hear about the big protest up in Anchorage, Alaska?
Anchorage, Alaska is always having protests for something, and they're crazy up there. They get a little stir-crazy because they're up in the middle of the cold wilderness.
It's 10
with
degrees.
With nothing to do but smoke drugs.
It's 10 degrees, and five women promised to march naked to protest fur.
Hey, wait, let's get some naked protest music. Are you ready?
Yeah. There you go. But because it was so cold, it was only 10 degrees, they put on underpants, elf slippers and red Santa hats.
Woohoo! Opa!
And they got really, really cold, and they carried a strategically placed plastic banner that proclaimed, we'd rather be naked than wear fur, and I guess their little nipples were probably harder than quarters, which is a pretty tempting thought. Compassion is fashion, fur is dead, they chanted. My gosh. 10 degrees? 10 degrees and wear nothing but shoes, panties, and a hat?
That's what I call chilly.
That is dedication.
That will make your nipples hard and give you goosebumps in all those strange places in your body.
Oh.
Did I say that this was the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show?
Yeah, I think you did, man.
Did I say the phone number? 749-1444. We'll be right back.
We're not going anywhere.
Others like you. Well, there's a moon look around.
Sexy tune, man. Dr. Nitwit, you're on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You dialed 749-1444. Tell us what's on your mind.
With a name like Dr. Nitwit, I'm sure that'll add a little credibility to your call.
Well, I got your card through the mail.
You got a card? You must be on the mailing list there, Nitwit.
That's correct.
Good. And what's on your mind tonight, and why do they call you Dr. Nitwit?
That's the kind of music that Bill Clinton goes to bed to.
What kind? You mean this?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
A little Grecian hillbilly.
Correct.
Redneck music from the Aegean Sea.
Here's Bill Clinton's theme song.
What's this got to do with Bill Clinton? You just called in to make fun of Bill Clinton?
No.
Well, why did you call, and why do you call yourself Dr. Nitwit?
Because first of all, a nitwit in Shakespeare's plays was the smartest person in Shakespeare's plays. He espoused wisdom, and I want to espouse some wisdom to you.
Come hither, gentle puck.
We sent a razor back to Washington. We sent a razor back named Bill. We sent a razor back to Washington to tax and to spend at will. He's paid for her by these boss hogs. It's special interest, my friend. With Clinton in power, these hogs will devour the money you were gonna spend. Now, you know, Bill Clinton grew up in a period of time where all of these little yuppie hippies that are running Washington thought that capitalism is no good. But see, when they hit my age in the 50s, capitalism's the greatest thing on earth.
You're in your 50s and you're still singing songs like that?
Well, I sing them against those hippies. I grew up with those hippies.
Did you
now?
They're
running Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
But do you remember a rock opera called Hair?
No, Hair.
Not at all.
Well,
hair, long, long, wonderful hair.
Yeah.
Getting caught in that the was, trees, that, it's a home kind of, for the bees in my hair.
Hair.
That's the kind of a rock opera that Bill Clinton and a bunch of those hippies would attend.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And that was supposed to be an anti-capitalist rock opera.
Yeah, okay, great.
Now, you take those people today, and they would say, oh, once we got through our pot, smoking our potted hair, and we smoke it at the White House, and we smoke it all over Washington, D.C., making money isn't such a bad thing in taxing everybody. That's the paradox that I've lived from the 60s to the 90s. I've watched these hippies grow up.
Something tells me you don't go in for hippies too much.
I hate them with a passion.
What do you think of the Beatles? They were the first hippies, you know.
The Beatles brought the hair that Bill Clinton and all those hippies wore during the 60s, including Hillary.
Now, you know that the hippies were right about Vietnam.
Let's put it this way.
Go ahead.
They started a new thing that I sung about in that song. They started what was called boss hog politics.
Explain to us, Nitwit, what are boss hog politics?
Boss hog politics is what we call spatial interest politics.
Spatial?
The hippies spatial. Controlled guys like William Proxmire and George McGovern. They ran the Vietnam War.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
No, I know.
Now, today...
No, not at all. You're making absolutely no sense at all.
You got these hippies today saying, because that's what they are, you got them saying today, gee, I wish the spatial interest politics would get out of Washington. Well, why? Why should it get out of Washington? It's what they started in the 60s.
So the hippies were really not a ragtag bunch of unwashed... just goofballs. They were really a very highly well-organized entity that had more political power than anyone else in the country.
Let me give you their exact name. It started at Berkeley, California. Students for a Democratic Society.
SDS.
Yes. And it spread across this nation like a cancer. And you were correct. They ran the Vietnam War, but they started what was called boss hog politics. And it really makes me puke to hear this hippie, Bill Clinton, and his wife. Bob Dole just can't understand it because he went into underground when the hippies surfaced.
Oh, Jesus. Dr. Nitwit, you are so far out of reality.
Yeah, we need to find you some hobbies, Nitwit. You need a couple of hobbies, something to occupy your time, something to keep the juices flowing. You know what I'm saying? We need to get you into, like, like making quilts, like knitting, maybe making... You know, painting, do you paint? Paint by
poetry.
Numbers? You write poetry.
I write poetry.
That's a good start, but I think that you might have to put too much original thought into that. We need you to do some, we need you to take on some hobbies that require more technical manual labor, you know, like maybe building electronics or something. What do they used to call that thing you used to get at Radio Shack?
Woman. That ridiculous space woman on there.
What's wrong with outer space women?
What the hell is out in outer space? Please tell me, except the junk.
Except junk?
Yeah, space junk that we have paid for to send up there to find nothing just watch it fall apart.
They got planets up there and stuff. They got water on the moon now.
You know, I grew up through Sputnik, okay?
Great.
The Cold War Sputnik, which was nothing but a bunch of communist propaganda that meant nothing. Okay? Then we had John Kennedy and Neil Armstrong and Alan, I can't even
Shepard.
Think of his last name. Yeah. Oh,
there's a couple of heroes for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, big heroes. I am really proud of one giant.
Well, you should be because those guys went where no man has been before.
Why, sure they
They're pioneers just like Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark look like a couple of hitchhiking hippies.
But what did they find? Dust. What they're going back to. Dust.
Is it Neil Armstrong's fault that there wasn't gold or oil on the moon?
It cost us billions and billions of dollars for him to make one leap, a giant leap for mankind.
You know, it's hard to believe that this right-wing jerk-off, Dr. Nitwit, is also anti-science.
I mean, it's just hard.
I'm not anti-science. I'm anti-space because I'm...
Well, what do you think about giving money to your churches?
I have no problem with that.
Even money-back guarantees?
Give your clothes and give your money to your fellow man.
Well, what have you done for your fellow man lately, Nitwit, besides give him a hard time?
What's that?
I said, what have you done for your fellow man lately, Nitwit, except for give him a hard time?
Well, I sure as hell haven't junked up space with machines that don't work and isn't going to find anything. I do believe in giving my money and clothes to my fellow man. I think that's more deserving.
Will you send me $20?
Space.
Nitwit, I want $20. Will you send me $20?
For what purpose? What's your cause?
My cause?
Yeah, I grew up with the SDS. You gotta have a cause, man.
That's right, you gotta have a cause.
Well, gotta have a cause, man. You gotta be free, man.
Well, it's true, you gotta be free, and you gotta not get hassled by the man. Nitwit, do you ever get hassled by the man?
What man?
You know, the man.
I've never been hassled by any man because I'm as free as the next guy.
Have you ever started to read a poem then got arrested on stage?
Never.
That used to happen before the SDS guys, before the Berkeley Free Speech Movement. If Allen Ginsberg wanted to read Hal, he would just wait until he got arrested. Do you ever do a stand-up comedy routine? Did you ever do a stand-up comedy routine and then get arrested in the middle of it?
No,
used to happen to Lenny Bruce before these SDS and Berkeley Free Speech guys came along.
Yeah, I don't incite the riot.
Yeah.
It's just like some of these rockers
also. So basically, you're free, but yet you just choose to do everything that's right down the middle of the road, and you choose not to rock the boat, and anybody who chooses to do otherwise is not being free.
You're free to be mainstream.
They're just merely causing trouble.
No, let me give you an example. Let me teach you something about life.
Okay, yeah, give me an anecdote. Give me an anecdote. That's what I want.
You ever heard of a rock artist by the name of Alice Cooper?
Vincent Farinier.
Welcome to my nightmare.
In the 60s, Alice Cooper, now talking about performances, Alice Cooper used to pass a cup around and have the audience spit in it, and then he drank.
No.
And he came out on the stage with a boa constrictor wrapped around him.
60s?
Now, somebody...
That's pretty cool, I think. I'd like to go to that show. 60s? How much are tickets?
Wait a moment. In Toledo, Ohio... Somebody decided that we're going to send him a message back about what we think of his performance and threw a live stick of dynamite up on the stage.
Well, that stinks. What kind of miscreant would do that? How would you like it if I came over to your house while you were reading some of your poetry and I threw a bomb into your house or a stick of dynamite and it blew up and crippled you? It would suck.
You're talking about people reading poetry and it all fits the same scheme. These are people who incited to riot. That's exactly what Alice Cooper finally found out.
So?
He says, I'm changing my ways because I'm inciting these people to riot.
You know, if you go see Alice Cooper today, he'll still bring out a snake. He'll still cut midgets' heads off.
The hatchet job on the rubber baby. Yeah, that's what he did. The rubber baby.
Yeah, he still does that. He had a song called Dead Babies, didn't he?
Dead Babies,
that was a great song.
Dead Rubber Babies.
Well, it wasn't dead. It was Dead Babies.
Something like that. But
you ever heard Cold Ethel?
Cold Ethel is a good song.
Cold Ethel's a great song.
But wait. Don't you think that you get back what you asked for?
Listen, Dr. Nitwit. Alice Cooper is just doing what he wants to do. He's just trying to express himself. Holy cow, it's in a way that Dr. Nitwit doesn't approve. Let's throw a stick of dynamite at him, yet you say you love freedom. What the hell? You want everyone to be free to be just like you.
No, I want everybody to be free, but I don't want everybody to be what you call, contradictory.
Oh.
Bill Clinton should live his life out in the 90s the same way that he lived it out in the 60s. I hated hippies. I didn't like the way they started what was called boss hog politics that they think is okay today, but they were against in the 60s.
Let's go, give me smoked chicken. What in the hell are you talking about, Dr. Nitwit? You want people to be free, but you don't want them to be contradictory? What does that mean?
In the 60s, they used environment. They used environment. They were opposed to going into space. They were they wanted this. They wanted
Who's
that.
They? Who's
they? They set up all their spatial interest agendas and took it to Washington, D.C. I remember one time when they wanted to legalize marijuana.
We want to legalize it right now. Chris and Rob want to legalize it right now, and we're going to legalize it. Listen, Nitwit.
Yeah.
You're telling me that in the 60s, it wasn't the oil lobby, it wasn't the tobacco lobby, it wasn't, you know, the labor unions.
No,
none of these guys were powerful special interests. The only powerful special interests were the hippies.
Yeah, that's how it got started, yes.
They couldn't
that's
even levitate the Pentagon when they wanted to.
Huh?
They couldn't even levitate the Pentagon when they tried.
No. In fact, they were anti-Pentagon. You ought to know that.
Yes, that's why they tried to levitate it.
But the special interest politics, let's start an organization called Opposition to the Cruelty of Animals.
Okay.
Let's start an organization called Protect the Environment. And all of these boss hog organizations that now Bill
boss
Clinton
hog.
Is saying should get out of Washington. Well, Bill, you and your hippie friends were the ones that started it in the 60s because you started what is called boss hog politics.
So you're saying that people shouldn't have the right to organize and petition the government in the manner that they see fit?
They shouldn't speak for me.
No one's saying they speak for you, Nitwit. They're saying they speak for other animal lovers.
You're doing enough speaking
lovers.
For yourself already, you freak.
They come through there and they say, all Americans want this. That's the way
they don't.
Said it. We
no,
all
they don't.
Want this.
Don't assign motives and words to people that you're not familiar with.
Oh, I know how they are because I know how this spatial interest politics got started that Bill Clinton doesn't want
you know,
in Washington.
Hey, Nitwit?
Yeah.
You know what I call special interest politics?
What's that?
Boss hog.
Yeah.
It's time to call a Mars here. Sorry about that, Nitwit. We're calling
Thank
Mars
you.
Now.
Bye now.
Okay, bye.
What the hell line was he on?
We got to call the...
Did I just hang up on Mars?
Hang up on him if you're an idiot there.
thought I was hanging up on a nitwit.
Yeah, we did hang up on a nitwit.
Oh, okay.
A guy calls himself the nitwit. He runs by another nickname sometimes, too, the idiot. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444, but don't dial it up just yet, because we're calling back Cape Canaveral now. We're about 2 to 3 minutes away from the launch of the Mars Pathfinder. And we're going to try to get some live play-by-play of the Pathfinder from our friend...
AT&T.
I hate that phone company.
What about MCI?
They suck, too. We're going to try to get some some live commentary, some play-by-play from Cape Canaveral from our friend, the Space Cowgirl. Yeah, let's get one of those for the show.
Christine,
what'd she call herself? The Space Cowgirl?
Space Cowgirl. You know I am a cowboy. I hope she's not a hippie.
Man, you know how those hippies are with their boss hog politics.
Tell you what, you know what they call them? Boss hog politics?
What?
Boss hog.
Do you? The phone's ringing at Cape Canaveral. Come on, baby, pick it up.
Come on, baby, talk to us, baby. Come on, baby.
I hope they're not picking it up because the rocket's going off right now.
Well, you know, I kind of thought about that when you said, hey, we'll call back just as the rocket's going off. They're thinking, well, instead of watching a rocket go off, I'll sit here by the phone, talk to the yahoos in Cincinnati, guys who won't even admit that boss hog politics have infested all of government.
Monitor it off the air there, Jim, because we don't need to listen to it ring. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we're waiting for Cape Canaveral to pick up.
If you made a pledge to WAIF lately, go ahead and pay it.
WAIF, thanks you for your pledges, and we need all the support we can get. If the nitwits out there, you can send us a couple of dough, because, you know, it takes money to run a radio station, and you'll notice we're not playing any commercials tonight.
Nope. You know, the nitwit is scared to death that marijuana is going to be legalized. Well, it has been legalized in Arizona and California, as you know.
But the feds are trying to stop it.
Scumbag. Yeah, you know, I think this General Barry McCaffrey, he's now the director of the Office National Drug Control Policy, what they always call the drug czar. That's the most idiotic name ever. But I think he's a good guy, and I think his heart's in the right place. I just think he's not enlightened. I think he's from the old school, and he's always been told that marijuana is bad, so he wants to believe that. And he's very against these states that pass the medicinal use of marijuana, Arizona and California. California's Proposition 215 is very vague. It legalizes the possession of use of marijuana for, quote, any illness for which marijuana provides relief, and allows doctors to make verbal recommendations that people use the drug. That is very vague. Do we have Cape Canaveral?
No, AT&T only lets it ring a certain amount of times, and they hang up on you.
AT&T sucks!
AT&T stinks. Sprint sucks. Try it again. Sprint stinks. MCI stinks. Who else stinks? I don't care stinks. All those phone companies stink. I hate phone companies. I wish there was just one like it used to be when I was a kid. It was just called Bell. It was called America Bell. You had Cincinnati Bell, Ohio Bell, then you had America Bell, then you had World Bell. Some dude out in the hallway is smoking a stick of incense. I think it's kind of weird. Smoking cigarettes is one thing, smoking a joint is another, but to be smoking a freaking stick of incense, what is that, musk? Ugh.
In Arizona, Proposition 200 legalized the use of marijuana and other so-called hard drugs, including heroin, LSD, and your favorite, methamphetamine.
That is my favorite.
In certain circumstances.
I love
doctors are required to cite a study confirming the proven medicinal benefits of the drug and provide a written prescription.
Ate it all up.
Now, some people say the voters were deceived by the proposition's backers. The proposition's backers say the voters knew exactly what they were doing. And in Arizona, California, finally seen the light. You know, if you have somebody who's sick and they don't want to eat, you know what you can do to them? You can have them smoke something that gives them the munchies. They'll eat and feel better. Did you ever think of that?
Rob, do you like your methamphetamines frozen on a sticker, or do you just prefer to put a few in your bowl of cereal in the morning?
Basically, yeah, the cereal thing is really good, and if you can't do that, the best thing to do is put it in your coffee.
All right, anybody out there got any info on the Mars rocket just went up watching CNN or something?
Going up right now, right now, right now.
749-1444, we're missing it because our friends at Cape Canaveral aren't picking up the phone because they know it's us calling back, so you give us a jingle real quick. We'll take one more phone call before the B-Boy Underground get here. Jingle us up here at 749-1444.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're about to hit the trail. Hey, who's this? Hey, who's this?
Nobody.
They chickened out. They got to the precipice of greatness, and they could not stand. Anyway, Chris and Rob and the lovely, talented Jim. We got a ticket tonight. We're all going to bust on out of here, make way for the B-Boys Underground. Thanks a lot for hanging with us. Thanks to all our guests. Who do we have? We have Dr. Binder. We had somebody else, and we had somebody else. We had some Alpo dog-eating
guy. What about next week? What about next week? What about next week's show, Rob? What about next week?
Don't know anything about it. Don't know anything about next week's show.
You'll just have to tune in to find out, but I'm sure we'll have fabulous prizes, especially for the drunk guy. If the drunk guy stays sober all week and calls us back next week, we'll have fabulous prizes for him and everyone else who calls. So stay tuned for the B-Boys Underground. And until next week, we'll see ya.
Peace.
Later.
Peace.
Peace of what?
Peace out.
Let the bass kick.
Let the bass kick.